Now, if you got a Bible today, turn with me, if you would. And I've got to get this other note out because I got to chunk this and I come with. Turn with me in Psalms chapter number 78 and verse number 1 today. It's not my intention to make you mad. It's my intention to help you. Psalm 78, if you'll stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Now he says, first of all, I want you to do something. I want you to give ear. There's a lot of preachers hollering, give me your money. But he said, if you'll give me your ear and I'll get in your heart, then I ain't got to preach on your money because you'll give me everything you got. Our problem is we want to stop our ears up. Now, give ear. Matter of fact, we got two of them. And he said, if you'll just give one of them, if it'll just go in one of them, it'll change your life. Give ear, oh my people. He's not talking to them folks out yonder. He's talking to us that proclaim that we know God. He said, I want you to give ear, oh my people, to my law. Can I tell you, you might well be seated. You know, he said, I want you to give ear to my law. Now, we had a policeman stood up this morning and testified and bragged on the Lord. And can I tell you that the law is there that we may remain lawful? And my goodness, if it's ever been a time that we need to be obeying the laws of the land, it is this morning. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I got to thinking as he stood up, you know, it's good to know somebody that enforces the law because he's got the option whether to write the ticket or not. Amen. So if you pull your preacher over and write him a ticket, just go on and write him a ticket for the glory of God, son. You'll be all right. Amen. I ought to not been breaking the law. He didn't write the law. He just enforces the law. And so our problem is not the law, it's us. The law is holy and it is perfect. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and with all of thy heart. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not say ugly things about your neighbor. Thou shalt not lie. And now all of that goes on, and he says, I want you to give ear to my law. He said, I want you to incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I'll open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Now, we will not hide them from their children, showing, underline that word, showing, to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Father, I sure do need You this morning. God, I have felt that You've directed me in this direction. And Lord, I pray now that You'd let preaching be easy. I pray that, Lord, You'd guard my lips, that I wouldn't say anything that You wouldn't be pleased with. I pray now You'd help us, and we'll be grateful to You. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. Now, as Brother Chad had stood up today and he had showed us the baby and said he was glad that little Ruby had a place to be raised in church. And then I began to think, there's Jonah, one of the first times in here, not sure if he is here Wednesday or not. I was gone preaching But I know He's here this morning, and I'm glad that He is. Heard a young man stand up today, one of our missionaries, that he goes in the prison systems preaching to children. He said that every one out of four kids in this country has severe trouble. Is it? And then I think that the statistics was a lot greater for my generation and the generation up. Maybe one in every 300 or so are incarcerated in our country. One out of every four children that's in this church, according to the statistics of the land and of the law, is going to head to bad trouble. I get to thinking when I was raised and how I was raised. I was raised on fried rabbit and white milk gravy and butter biscuits. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, we would go out with a single barrel shotgun and we would shoot us a bird down and we'd come back home and me and mama would dress the birds or we'd dress the rabbits. Some of you have no idea about what real living is like. I'm talking about killing a rabbit and coming home and your mama get one of them old hickory butcher knives and she'd take that rabbit. She'd say, now you hold the back side, I'll hold the front side. And she'd take that butcher knife and she'd cut the top of that rabbit. She'd say, now boys, put both fingers in where I've cut and I'm going to pull and you pull. And when we pulled, some of y'all think that was an ugly sight, but it was a great sight to me because I just seen rabbit tenderloin. Can I get a witness? And so she'd go to that sink and she'd get that butcher knife and she'd cut that rabbit into about six main parts. She'd cut the two front shoulders off. She'd cut the back in half and the two hind legs. She'd pull out some flour. A lot of you young'uns don't know what that is. I'm not talking about what's growing out yonder on the ditch bank. I'm talking about something that you've took to the mill and got some flour. She'd take that rabbit and she'd roll him around in that flour and she'd put black pepper and salt and then she'd reach down in what we had a lard can by the stove and she'd get that old-timey hog lard. I mean, some of that stuff that you're talking about stopping up your heart, neighbor, it'll make your heart go in a different direction. Somebody say amen. And she'd get that grease real hot and she'd drop that battered rabbit in that thing and that rabbit would even shout glory to me. I mean, she'd turn him, she'd get him golden brown and then she'd turn it down and put a lid on it and let it simmer. And when it simmered, it tenderized that rabbit. The whole time them biscuits is arising in that oven. She'd take that rabbit out and then she would put some more flour in that lard rabbit grease. And she'd stir that flour till it got so thick you had to shake it off the spoon. Somebody say amen. And so we would sit down and that would be our supper and thank God for it. Had a mama that knowed about quilting she would take and she'd make quilts. And man, we lived in a house that got so whole. She'd put so many quilts on you in the wintertime in the morning. When she hollered for you, she'd have to get a bumper jack to get the quilts off of you to let you get out on the floor. But honey, when we run in there to the table, I had a mama that was sitting there waiting on me to get my day started. Thank God for some mamas today that's with their babies to help them get their day started. And then I noticed my daddy was sitting at the end of the table. Miss Sherry, I like the way that he drank coffee. He would make his coffee so strong, he would put his spoon on it and the spoon would just run away from it. Amen. I love real coffee when you can get a drink and it'll just slap you upside the head and say amen. Some of y'all ought to got some Starbucks coffee this morning before you come to Liberty Baptist Church. Yeah, it looks like you've been a running with dogs all night. You done caught their fleas. Somebody say amen. You done laid out to Walmart all night and you've laid out at the ball game. You come in all wall-eyed and say, now, most of you's fought on the way to church and you say, well, now, Lord, now I'm here and just bless me if you can. Ain't it amazing? The devil never shows up at our house mainly till Sunday morning. I wonder why that is. I wonder why he don't want you to get your children down to a church that's preaching out of a King James Bible. Now, I'm going to go on and tell you this, and I won't be long in what I'm doing today, but I do want to tell you that if you was coming to a laser show, or if you was coming to a pony ride, if you was coming to a yard sale, the devil wouldn't be bothering you, but you better be sure, friend, the devil's on your trail. He wants to break up your home. He wants to divide your heart. He wants to do anything he can do if you're trying to live for the Lord Jesus. And if you're raising your children in a Bible preaching church, you say, well, preacher, I don't like you already. Well, friend, let me tell you, opinions is like bad breath. Everybody has it, but nobody knows they got it except the one that's sitting beside them. Somebody say amen. Well, everybody's got an opinion, and your opinion don't matter, and my opinion don't matter. It's what thus saith the Word of God. I'm glad this morning I've got a King James Bible. Thank God it's still a working. You say, well, what kind of Bible is it? It is a talking Bible. I'm glad it talks to me. It's a truthful Bible. You can believe it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. I believe there was a little boy called Jonah, and the whale got him. I believe it was a man called Isaac. There he went up on the mountain with his daddy. I believe it was a man called Moses. When he stepped out across the Red Sea, he is leading his children around. And he said, oh no, what do we do now? God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe he took and he looked at that river, and the whole sea parted. And I believe the Bible said they walked across all on dry ground. I believe the Bible is the Bible for our day. I'm glad it's a talking Bible. It talks to me. Does it ever talk to you? He said, give ear to my word, to my law, to my commandments. I'm glad it's a talking Bible. I'm glad it's a truthful Bible, but I sure am glad. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm about to run. I'm glad that it is a touching Bible. Oh, I'm glad it touches our heart and it affects our living and it affects our home. I'm glad for the preaching of the Word of God. Now listen, I just want to tell you, and be as kind as I know how to tell you, if you're sitting in a church this morning, there's a woman up trying to give you a little poem and a riddle, the devil ain't going to fight you much. The Bible said, the man that pastors must be the husband of one wife. Now I'm not confused. I think this same-sex marriage is out of hell. You say, well, how do you really believe? I think it's out of hell. I think God said that He made Adam and Eve. Amen. Not Rebecca and Rachel. Somebody say amen. And not Jamaica and Jamaica. Hallelujah. I believe that we ought to marry a man and a woman. And then when we get married, we ought to do everything we can do to stay together. Somebody say amen right there. I believe that drinking is still wrong. I'm not a drunk because somebody put a liquor store on the corner. You hear me? I've got responsibility to do right. Hey, that liquor store ain't calling me in there. It ain't got me lassoed. You quit blaming your sin on somebody else and stand up and say, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. You quit telling everybody that they did this and they did that. Why don't we got some men and women and boys and girls to stand up and say, it's me, oh Lord. I'm the sinner. It's me, God. It ain't nobody else's fault. This is why I did this. I'm a sinner and I ain't right with you. But God, I need to get with you. I tell you why our homes are divided today. Because it's sin. Sin. Sin is still wickedness. You don't play with sin and leave it the way that it found you. Hey, sin is addictive. Every time I sin, I want to have more sin till the Holy Ghost smites my heart. And then I say, oh God, I'm glad I'm a child of the King. I used to smoke weed. It never bothered me till I got saved. But now I can't smoke it no more. Bible said, if any man be in Christ, am I okay? Am I all right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become anew. I can remember in my bass club days, man, I was running fish around. They knowed the sound of my Yamaha motor. You real men say amen. I mean, when I come up the river, they said, here comes that boy. But one day when I got saved, something happened to me. I remember I was at the Bass Club fish fry. My wife was with me, and God had just called me to preach. And Brother Mike, God got the stirring in my heart. And about that time, we got together to have prayer. I said, hey, I want to say something. I said, the Lord saved me, and He's called me to preach. And all my Bass Club buddies went to backpedaling. Their eyes got big. As long as I had their beer and had their weed and had a boat full of gas, they loved me. But when I started to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, I found me some new friends. Thank God some of them are my friends today. Some of them's got saved. Some of them love me, and some of them look like you, cross-sided as a polecat. Some of you looking at me like, I said all that to say this. We got a generation coming up that knows not God. Now, I want to show you what the Bible says. Look right here, if we can, right quick in Psalm 78. And he uses a word in verse number 4. He said, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come. Now, it's easy for me to tell you to do it, but what am I doing with it? You know, my granddaddy plowed with a mule. And that'd been something the first time if he had told me, now listen, you go and put the harness on the mule, put the plow line to him. Well, friend, I wouldn't even know what end of the mule that the plow went on. But I had a granddaddy, he'd go out in the barn, and he was a hands-on man. I loved him. He is an old Tennessee farmer. He had him a walking stick, a hickory walking stick. That was for two things. That was for killing rattlesnakes and straightening out all his business. Somebody say amen right there. But I'm interested in this word showing. Now, we've got a generation coming up that needs to be showed some things. Now, a lot of you young'uns, y'all think that, you know, you just wake up every morning and you get in your car and you drive down to Kroger or Walmart and you just get what you need. I mean, they's not hardly nobody coming up in this young generation that knows how to plant a garden. And so it may be coming time that we might ought to buckle down and have some of them old-timey garden planting classes. Get back down to the basic thing. See, all they know about is Nintendo. All they know about is the iPhones and U-phones and texting and talking. They don't know much. You know why? Because they ain't been showed nothing. He said, showing them. Now, I want to say, first of all, we better be teaching this generation coming up about how to build a fire. One of the best friends I got here, I won't call his name, but he's been with me a long time. They got him a new wood heater one time. I never will forget it. Lord, give me a great sermon. He gives me sermons off people. And especially if I go down to the mall on Friday night. Somebody say amen. And so, it got a little cool, and he said, well, I'm going to build a fire. And so he got him a newspaper. That looked pretty good. He wadded it up. And I said, well, we're on track. He throwed it in there, but he reached down. He got him a log just about big as this bucket right here. And I don't know if he just didn't really take time to break it up, but he went to throwing them big back sticks in there on top. And I got to thinking, before he shut the door, now that ain't going to work. That just ain't no way that's going to work. And sure enough, that little paper didn't get all that started. But I tell you what we better do. Our churches has done got so cold, they done got so dry that, hey, we better be learning some young'uns how to build a fire in the church house. And we better be teaching them how to build it right. Amen. It's not on singing. I love singing. But you've got to build on the Word of God. God said, my Word is forever settled in heaven. And friend, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. If you leave this book, you're going in the wrong direction. This book is going to stand when the world is a-burning. We've got a president that wouldn't know God if he pulled up in a fire truck with an alarm going. Somebody say amen. He claims to be a Christian. Well, if you're a Christian, I tell you, you won't be throwing a party over the gay day. Somebody say amen right there. And if you're a real Christian, you won't be sanctifying, killing babies by the millions. If you're a real Christian, I'm talking about a real Christian now. Some of you don't get scared. It's going to get a lot worse than this for I'm done this morning. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible said it's about time that we put up or shut up. He said, I want you to show this generation to come about some fire building. Now, if the power goes out, our young'uns is going to freeze. They don't know how to build a fire. But I'm glad we've got some young'uns that are catching a hold in the church about how to build a fire. They'll raise their hands up. Some of you are Baptists and you're scared to raise your hand. It just means that you know the answer. Matter of fact, in our church, if you raise your hand, I won't say, yes, what would you like to say? You raise your hand and be Baptist. Can I tell you, you can have a loud voice and be Baptist. The first Baptist in the Bible had a pretty loud voice. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I'm going to tell you right now, he didn't have a necktie around his neck. I'm all for dressing right. I'm all for doing right. And I'm all for spitting white. But you know you pastor a good country church when there's a spit tune in the woman's bathroom. Somebody say amen right there. Some of you ladies get you a pinch of that Copenhagen on the side. But the Lord is a-looking. Somebody say amen right there. But I'm telling you, we need to be showing a generation some. Showing them how to do that. You don't tell them, you got to show them. Now, I got on an airplane a Friday morning, and as I began to come back home from my trip, and I looked and I seen a man that was going to fly the plane. I would have hated to know that he was sitting there and he had a little pamphlet in his hand telling me, now I've read about this, how this thing works. But I'm glad somebody had hands on to show him. They've got what they call simulators. People sitting there by him with hands on the steering wheel. If it's ever been a time that we better step up and go to showing our children something, it is today. Our children are doing what they're doing because they hadn't been showed nothing. It's not our children's fault. Now, we ought to be teaching them about how to build a fire. And then we ought to be teaching them about having to bow down at Jesus' feet and worship Him. There was a leper. One of them got saved. Remember, 10 come back. Jesus done something for the whole 10. There's one of them turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. And this is what Jesus said. He said, I appreciate what you're doing, but when they 10 of you boys got saved, he said, well, I see you, but where's the 9? Now, Jesus wasn't upset because he was a-shouting and a-praising him. He was upset because them other 9 wasn't doing nothing for him. And I'm going to tell you, the reason your children go to this altar, they see you go to the altar. And if there's ever been a time that we need to go to the altar, it is today. Today's when we need to go to the altar. Now's when we need to go. We need to be teaching our children about the fire of praying. Boy, let us raise a generation that will know how to build a fire and that will bow at Jesus' feet. And then we ought to be teaching or showing our children how to be faithful. Now, our children can't drive. How are they going to get to church unless you bring them? We're giving them a bad message when we're not faithful in our church. My mom and daddy was always faithful at church. And let me tell you something. When the Lord saved you, He requires me and you to be faithful. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but the more as we see the day approaching. Now, I don't know about y'all, but this flesh I got, I need some church. And I don't need somebody just tiptoeing around on issue. I need somebody preaching to me. Would somebody help me preach in Bowden on Sunday morning? We need somebody to show our young'uns how to be faithful. And that's no use in you telling your young'uns, well, you ought to go to church. You ought to show them. You ought to show them. Then let me go on and get on them finances right quick. We ought to be teaching our children that ministries don't run on love offerings. You look around here, friend, this don't run on love offerings. This is tithe from God's people. Some of y'all going to hate that I took this trip this week, but I took some preachers out for lunch. Preachers are a lot like children. That's so good, I believe I'll just keep it a while. You know, I figured when your young'uns got married that they sort of moved off. But I found out that's not so. You just get more young'uns. And any of y'all ever took your young'uns and in-laws out to supper? And, you know, we go to a good place. We go down to Longhorn, you know, and they don't run on love offerings neither, neighbor. And so sat there and everybody orders something good. And the waitress comes up. She says, now, will this be on one check or four? And all eight of them does this. Yeah. So you know what that means. Daddy's got the check. Well, I was in Louisiana this week. We went to a place, got some of them good shrimp. Somebody holler amen right there. I'm talking about wonder. They right there with fried rabbit now. They're close second. So the lady, of course, she brought me the tab, and it was six of us. And at the bottom of the ticket, I seen something over in Louisiana I never seen in Georgia. It said at the bottom, said, now if there's six of you, there's a 15% gratuity added. Then at the bottom of that, it said eight or more, there's a 20% added. I said, Lord, some of that crowd I'm pastoring, they'd bring their gun in here on you. Said, they got problem giving God 10, much less you 20. Yeah, man, I wouldn't look down right now. We preaching right now. We not praying right now. Look on up in here and get you some preaching this morning. We preaching right now. We not praying right now. I said, them rednecks I got right now that ain't scared wrote on their windshield, they'd pull their tar tool out and come here and settle up on this 20%. Because, you know, they won't even give God His 10, much less you your 20. We ought to be teaching our children about finances at the house of God. Well, we're going to tithe if we got money left. That ain't what God said. He said, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in my house and prove me. Will a man rob God? You say, well, there you are preaching on money. It just come up. A little preaching will blow you out of here. You don't want no preaching no way. We got a sign out there that says Liberty Baptist Church, and we got preaching down here. And redneck. Somebody say amen. few school teachers, whole lot of police. No doctors or lawyers. We ought to be showing our children something. And you know, I tell you another thing that we ought to be showing our children. Not only should we be teaching them to be faithful. What about Sunday night? Do y'all think I feel good every Sunday night? I mean, now think about it now. I preached all week. Drove, flew, got back in here, got in with my family. Studied most days Saturday. Got to go home now. I ain't got a clue what I'll preach tonight. I got to get that up. And does anybody think that just because I'm a preacher that I feel perfectly fine about Sunday night? You know, I mean, I'm not snorting Geritol, neighbor. This body ain't getting no younger. Amen. This is what's going to happen if we don't catch a hold of this thing. The generation coming up, they're not going to have a church to go to at night. It's going to be one service a week, and that's going to be on Sunday morning. You know why? Because that's what you're teaching them to do. I'm going to be going on to heaven, and they're not going to hear me saying, be faithful. The Bible says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It doesn't matter what your wife thinks. It's your responsibility to raise your children in the house of God. And if she don't want to come, you get your hide up off the couch and you bring them young'uns. Now don't go flat on me now. Ma'am, if your husband has left, you don't have a husband to help you with them babies, you man up and bring them babies to the house of God. God will bless you for it. These young'uns can't get saved in a hit or miss faithfulness. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to hear, hear, and hear. This is where the devil gets me a lot of time. Well, they didn't heard you say that. Well, I've been here 18 years. You've heard everything I've got to say. But I can tell you one thing, I'm not going to throw my hands down and say they've heard everything. I'm going to go get me another church. I'm going into evangelism. This is where I belong. Amen. And I'm responsible for what goes on in this church. I'm going to give an account for this church. Hebrews 13, look it up. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you the truth. You know, I preached the Bacalark service this year at Bowden. And I could tell some of them teachers was upset with what I had to say. But I'm not a politician, I'm a preacher. And we've got good school teachers in this church. Matter of fact, I'm proud of them. Some have got awards. Thank God they've got some saved teachers they can go to and talk. Thank God for that. But I guarantee you, when they go to Bowden next year, their curriculum is not going to say, go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Matter of fact, the state of Georgia has just constituted and voted that now they will have Darwin's theory in the science textbooks in your schools for your children and where my grandbabies are. Somebody's got to stand up. You say, well, Brother Ken, now y'all just built this new wing in your church and you think preaching like this is going to fill it up. This ain't my church. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, He said, and I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail again. All He's done is called me to preach and be the under-shepherd and the overseer of this flock. That's all He's done. This, y'all, listen, I didn't save y'all. You've got responsibilities. And if you don't act on your responsibilities, you're going to fail your children. We've got mom and daddies driving from Roanoke, Alabama, Anniston, Alabama, got people driving an hour to get to this church back on Sunday night. And we got people live right here in the churchyard. And listen, don't tell me about your excuse, because it just be, you know, I love people that's just honest with me. Preacher, we just didn't want to come. Praise God, I'm glad you're that honest. Quit blaming everything on the neighbors. Quit blaming everything because your TV show come on, you're afraid you'd miss. Get a T-bow or whatever that thing is. I don't know what you call it, T-bow or elbow. We ought to teach our kids to be faithful. If we're raising a generation to hit or miss, you know what they're going to do? They're going to hit or miss. My grandboy right there, look at him. Wild as a fire ant. But you know what, Brother Barry? I'm glad he's here. I can preach over any young'un. Why, if I couldn't preach over a young'un screaming and squalling, I wouldn't be much of a preacher. Now, a lot of these boys in these gowns and robes, that'd tear him up. I mean, that'd mess his program. He wouldn't know what to do. But let me tell you, I'm glad you babies are here. And I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you it's your responsibility to show them. You say, well, don't you talk ugly. Does he hear you talk ugly? Don't you talk ugly. What's he hearing you say? Don't you drink beer. What you got in the refrigerator? Don't you smokies. Then you quit smoking, looking goofy. You ain't heard nothing yet. It's just now 10 after 12. All these other good little Baptists, they eating all that soggy food was put out at 10:30, about right now. Y'all going to get fresh chicken today. Showing. I'm glad somebody has showed me something. What kind of preacher would I be if I told you something and didn't do it? Listen to me. Look up here. Everybody look up here. You expect your preacher to be right and do right. You get right. What fares for the goose, fares for the gander. I know God holds me to a higher standard. I'm not copping out on being your preacher. Thank God He called me to preach. But don't you get mad at the preacher. Matter of fact, last time I seen, when you throw the rock and a pack of dogs, the only one hollered is one got hit. Move your little Baptist head like this. Don't go home have preacher for lunch. I hope you choke. I hope it ain't enough tea in your glass to get preacher down. I hope it gets so big you choke. Do you hear him talking? He had me picked out. I ain't got you picked out. The Holy Ghost knows where you sitting. Brother Tim's postmaster down in Rambert. Wouldn't that be goofy? If you stood by your mailbox Monday and they put something in your mailbox because you had your flag up and chewed out the mailman. He's just delivering the mail. Ain't no sense you getting mad at a preacher. Well, some of y'all don't like this, and don't worry, I got two more. Surely you'll like one out of seven. We ought to be showing our children. And I want to close with this. Y'all get with me now. We ought to be showing our children how to forgive. Yep. Yep. Amen. And I tell you something else that you ought to be teaching your children. If you play with sin, you're going to get in trouble. And even though you're a Christian and God will forgive you for anything you've ever done, there's things you can do that will disqualify you in the service for God. Now you listen to me and you listen well, because I'm fixing to preach the next 10 minutes. When you lose respect for me, I'm done. And I don't care what I've done, and God will forgive me for anything I ever do. But you remember this. When I have lost your respect, you'll have to have a new preacher. There's things I can do, God will forgive me. But it's a mark on me. Now I want to show you something about teaching your young'uns to forgive. And I've got to put my coat on to show you. And I hate to because I'm hot. But I'm going to show you the way we live and where we are. And this is what some of you don't understand. God's give you a preacher to help you, but some of you won't listen to him or use him. When you got troubles, you ought to come see your preacher, not your neighbor. You say, well, you're running all over the country preaching. All right, ain't nobody here. I carry this right here 24/7. We've got an assistant pastor, use him. We've got deacons, use him. We got leadership, use them. Right there sits a couple that can help you, Brother Jerry and Miss Pete. They got some age. Rove Young's Brother Donald and Miss Marcel. Right Young's Brother Jake Honey and Miss Phyllis. Ain't a better couple in this church. Why don't people listen to the preacher and use what God's give you to use? These times I call Brother Jack, say, Brother Jack, I ain't never run up against this of you. Here's a pastor sitting here today, first time in our church, as pastor 30-something years. I'm glad I've known him. I may need to call him sometime and say, sir, I ain't run up against this. I need some help. We need each other. And if the devil can get you out there on a limb by yourself, that's where he's wanting you to get. Now, we better be teaching our young'uns something I'm fixing to give you that I've had to learn. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4, verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. That word grieve means to make sad. If you've been saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And when you sin, you grieve Him and make Him sad. Now, verse 31. Let. That's an option I've got. That's like a hinge on that door. You can open it or close it. Let. Now, I'm fixing to help you. Stay with me. Let all bitterness. You know where bitterness comes from? Hatred. You know where hatred comes from? Hurt. And wrath and anger. And clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Said, don't even let it be in there. Put it away from you. Let it. Here it is, verse 32. And be ye kind. One to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now let me ask you something. Brother Wendell's good friends I've got. Old bootlegger got saved by the grace of God. Ain't God good, Brother Wendell? I'm so glad He saved you. He told me, he said, preacher, I didn't only make liquor, I drunk a bunch of it. Will He forgive me? I said, He sure will. And there he says. Raise your hand up, Brother Wendell. Ain't God good? Boy, ain't that a testimony, preacher? I made liquor, but now I drunk a bunch of it. And he said, forgive. As for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Where in there does somebody has to ask you forgiveness before you forgive? You know what some of you are doing? Some of you, you've been hurt, and if you don't handle this hurt right, it's going to turn to hatred, and then your hatred's going to turn to bitterness. And this is what happened. Somebody's done me wrong song. And I put it right here. And I'm not going to forgive you till you ask me. And then I go down the road and, well, I will be. There's another done something to me. And I'm going to stick it right here. And ain't nobody asked me to forgive them yet. So now I've got all this hurt in my heart and it starts doing things. It starts turning into hatred. I go over there and I do something for somebody else and they slam the door in my face and cuss me out and they've not asked me, they've not apologized, and there's something else. Then I go on down, you know, and I'm just hurt and tore up and I'm waiting on everybody to apologize to me and ain't nobody said nothing. And it just keeps a-growing. Look what your Bible says. Do you see any place in there where it says that they've got to ask you forgiveness before you forgive them? It ain't in that chapter. And this is what happens. My wife said something to me. And your husband said something to you and he cut you to the bone. I mean, he cut you to the bone. And you got it all right here. And this is the issue now. Now you're walking around and you stooped over. And you used to walk straight up, but now your hurts done got you bent over and you waiting on somebody to call you to apologize. You know, I noticed something. I worked 24 and a half years with Pepsi-Cola. A lot of you know this. There's a man swindled me and got a lot of money from me. I'm not talking about a payday. I'm talking about 24 years of it. Boy, you're talking about a Kleenex box, friend. Brother Troy, where's Brother Troy? Brother Troy. I'd get up and that's all I could see. And you know what? He's in jail. He got 18 years. He got 30 families of us. And you know something? All of that hurt was turning into hatred and bitterness. And it was keeping me from worshiping God. It was keeping me from praying. It was keeping me from being the preacher I needed to be. And did you know he has not wrote one letter out of that jail to apologize to me? Where's that verse, Brother Tim? Show it to me so I ain't got to go back to my Bible. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now let me ask you something. Has God forgive you for anything? I'm not condoning sin. I'm not saying it ain't a price about sin. I'm not saying there ain't repercussions about sin. I'm talking about you and me. Your enemy. I remember down yonder in Tallapoosa, it was a man run that store. I was on the Pepsi-Cola route. I'd made management, walked in there. Little old bitty skinny thing, little wiry something. I mean, I would love to pop them plumb over the counter. He got smart to me and told me what I could do. And boy, I'm telling you what, I know if I hit him, I'd lose my job. I'd get on the lawnmower. And when I'd cut grass, I'd just see him, Brother Michael. It's bad when somebody has got you in their mind and they making space in your mind and they ain't paying no rent on it. Boy, I'm carrying this stuff around. This is the thing about it. It ain't hurting him. It's hurting me. Some of the things that's happened years ago, you still carrying it around. It ain't hurting them folks that done it to you. It's hurting you. It ain't hurting them. You're full of hatred and bitterness and you're hurt and mad. That ain't hurting them folks that did that. It's hurting you. It's got you captive. The other night, as a man preaching camp meeting, light went on. I said, God, I got to preach this at our church. I'm begging you to give me the right time. Talking about teaching, showing our kids forgiveness. Matter of fact, it may come a time when your young'uns have done you wrong and you better listen to what your preacher's saying. Forgiving one another as Christ hath forgiven you. Ain't no apologies been made there. Now turn 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Is that a Scofield Bible? Just find me a Scofield. I don't know. I know where it's at. 1 John 3. Now watch. Here it is, Brother Tim. Verse number 3. Verse number 2. 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now with the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Can I get a witness? And every man, here it is. And every man that hath this hope in Him, here it is, purifieth himself, even as He is pure. You know what that means? It means it's an ongoing process keeping yourself pure, because He can come back any minute. And the way He finds me is the way He's going to keep me. And there's a man up preaching the other night on forgiveness at camp meeting. You know, I was doing pretty good. I was going to preach tomorrow night, Brother David. Now I was sitting there like your good pastor, you know, boy, smiling, right haircut, trimmed goatee that a lot of them brethren don't like. Some of y'all don't like facial hair. Scrape eyebrows off your head. Amen. You legalistic rascal. So he was sitting there and he said, hey, I can tell you how you know if you forgive somebody or not. I said, well, I know I forgive them. He said, this is how you know. If you meet them in the grocery store and you see them coming up the aisle and you switch aisles. Did anybody come to your mind when I said that? I got home. I drove a long way and got out. Got ready to go in the house. It's about 11:30. I got an altar out in my barn. Holy Ghost said, thought you was wanting to do right. I said, God, more than anything, I want to do right. God, if it's ever been a time in the ministry I need you, it's tonight. He said, you know, them faces lit up with you when that preacher said, you know, if you've forgiven them, if you have to swap aisles or not. He said, who'd you see tonight? Brother Gerald, I went up there to my altar. This is what it did. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Miss Julie, come. God, I didn't know that's in me. God, I had no idea that was in me. You see, we better not be around our dinner table talking about somebody and letting our young ones hear it.
Amen.
I'm not condoning sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. I wrote something that I want to read, and then I'm going to be done this morning. It's in this Bible cover. I know I've been long, but I feel that this is very important. Because you see, if you don't take care of your hurt, it'll go to hatred, and then it's going to go into bitterness. And Jesus said, forgiving one another, being tender-hearted. Does God forgive you for anything? Have I offended you? Just because I'll preach to you, because I love you. Not because I'm a mean preacher, because I care about you. You know, forgiving doesn't mean that all memories are gone. Nor does it mean that it was okay. It just means that you've let go of anger or guilt towards someone or towards yourself. Forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. It's easier to forgive an enemy than it is to forgive a friend. Forgive all who have offended you, not for them, but for yourself. Forgiving does not erase a bitter past. A healed memory is not a deleted memory. Instead of forgiving what we cannot forget, it creates a new way to remember. We change the memory of our past into a hope for the future. Anger makes you smaller while forgiveness forces you to grow beyond what you are. A secret of forgiving everything is to understand nothing. Forgiveness means letting go of the past. And this right here is one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard. Matter of fact, a man just gave it to me Thursday night. He said, "Preacher, I'll give you something to go with your sermon." A lady come and told me one night, this is what she said after service. She said, "Preacher, you'll never get ahead getting even." You got hurt in you today. We better be showing our children how to forgive. Mom and daddies, you slamming doors at your house and fussing and fighting at each other, what are you showing your children? Why don't you show them how to forgive and love each other? We're so self-centered. So self-centered. My sister's going to sing. I'm going to open this altar up this morning. It's none of my business, but I can tell you this. I sure did get a lot of help out there at my altar the other night when I said, "God, I forgive them." Didn't even know it was in there. Thought I had. But God, I don't guess I did. And you know, I know that we love to put blame on everything, but Jesus said, "I'll tell you what you better do." He said, "If you've got this hope in you, you ought to purify yourself and you ought to take care of it as it comes and forgive." The best policy is when you have a bad thought, you ought to say, "Lord, forgive me of that." When you've done something, automatically you ought to say, "Lord, forgive me of that." Somebody's hurt you or done something to you. Some of you have been through a bad divorce in the past and you're just eat up with bitterness and anger. You ought to come get that straightened out this morning. Some of you husband and wives, you ought to come get some things fixed. Some of you young'uns, you're mad at mom and daddy. You better learn to forgive. Mom and daddies, you better be showing them some things. It's our responsibility. We're leaving and they're coming behind us. Mom and Dad, can I encourage you to be faithful to God's house? To give to God's house and be attentive to God's house? Quit letting events, entertainment, and excuses take your children out of the house of God. You come this morning, whatever you need, as my sister sings. I just want to open this up. I just want to be honest out of my heart if you come this morning.